They tell an anecdote that there was a Jew who was selling a donkey, a chamoyer, in the marketplace. But this donkey cost $75,000. People wondered, how do you charge so much for a donkey? So he said, this is a unique donkey. This donkey understands language very well. You don't have to strike it. You communicate it. You communicate with it verbally, and it follows instructions like another human being. So a person, a customer, a Gentile customer, pays him the money, and then takes the donkey and starts talking to the donkey. Good morning, how are you? Please go. The donkey is not responding. He comes back to the owner, the seller, and he says, Lomarimi Sonny, why did you deceive me? I'm speaking and speaking, I'm talking, communicating. The donkey is not moving. He says, you don't know what you're doing, come here. And the Balabaz, the Jewish owner, takes a stick, whacks the donkey in the back, and says, go, 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 go! And the donkey starts running. He says, you see, I told it to go, and it went. He says, Akuts. First, you strike it. He says, no, that was just to get its attention. Well, Parshas Balak, a major feature is, of course, the donkey. A unique donkey. You see in your first source, Vayakom Bilam Baboiker Vayachvash Esasoinoi Vayelechim Sari Moyav. When the king of Moab hires Bilam, the great prophet of the time, to curse the Jewish people, so Bilam fastens, saddles his asoinoi, his she donkey, asin is a female donkey, and he goes with the princes of Moab to Balak's palace to go curse the Jews. But little do we know how much this donkey will play a role in the story. At this point, he's just riding on a donkey. Donkey is one of the most ancient beasts that's been used to transport people and to transport merchandise from one location to another location. And Bilam has his donkey. But as the story progresses, we see that this donkey suddenly becomes the central feature of the story. Because when the angel of Hashem is trying to obstruct Bilam's path, Bilam doesn't notice it, but the donkey notices the angel. One time, and a second time, and a third time, and Bilam is striking the donkey and wants to kill the donkey until we have a Yiftach Hashem es Pi Ha'asayin. God opens up the mouth of the donkey who starts communicating to Bilam about their unique loyalty, camaraderie, friendship. Haloi Anoichi Asoincha. Beautiful words of a donkey. Haloi Anoichi Asoincha Sherechavta Alav. I'm your donkey. I have been your loyal donkey. And finally, Bilam sees what the donkey has seen all the time. He sees the Malach of Hashem. This is the donkey. And then the donkey disappears from the story, and the story moves on to Bilam's intended curses, which are transformed into blessings. Comes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Daled Amud Beis. And the Gemara tells a story. When the princes of Moab saw that Bilam is riding on a donkey, they tell him, a man like you should be using a horse. The horse was the vehicle of the aristocrat. A guy like you shouldn't be driving a Buick. You should be driving a BMW. You should be driving a horse. Especially the horse goes much faster than the donkey. Even if it doesn't win the triple crown of the pharaohs. But it goes faster than the donkey. Amar lahu, he tells them, Biritive shadoile. I have left the donkey to pasture. I mean, I've left my source, my horse, to be able to pasture in the Mir, in the Agam, in the swamp. This was a surprise. I didn't expect you coming. What I have available now is a donkey. My horse is being nurtured and taken care of. Miyad vatoymera Austin. Who speaks up? So the donkey speaks up. The donkey says, what are you lying? Aloy anoichi asayincha. Tell them the truth. I'm your donkey. You use me. What it's like to them. What are you telling them in their lives? This is how Chazal see part of what the donkey is telling him. Donkey's not just saying, I'm your donkey that was always here. He's responding to what Bilam's lies. I'm Allah. So Bilam tells her, her is the donkey because it was a female donkey. It was an asin. A chamoir is a male donkey. In Hebrew, an asin is a female donkey. I'm Allah. He tells the Tina Ba'alma. Of course you're my donkey. I use you for burdens, for packages. I need to load things. You should carry. I use you. Amrelei, so she says, Yevaita lying. Asher achafta alai. Don't tell me I'm only used for luggage. You have used me to ride on me. So first, haloya noichi asoincha. And then, asher achafta alai is the second response. Amaloi tells the donkey, akrai mi alma. Yeah, once in a while, I myself have to go somewhere. I don't have my horse. I use the donkey. Amrelei, mayoitcha vadayoy mazah. A third lie. You're lying again. A third lie. You've always been riding on me. But the donkey continues. The words in Chumash are ha'askin iskanti. Zog de gemara v'lo yoy de la shani yoysu lecha rechivus bayoyim v'ishus balayla. I serve you. By day you use me to ride. You use me, you ride on me. And by night we have intimate relationships. Ksiv hocha ha'askin iskanti uksiv hosem v'tihi loy soichenes. Give me a chumash. It says, oh, right here. By Avishag Hashunamis, David HaMelech in his older age is very cold and they want to warm him up. So they bring Avishag Vatihiloi Soichenes so she could warm his body. So the Gemara makes a Gzeirah Shava between the word Soichenes and the words that the donkey of Bilam uses, Hahaskin Iskanti Lasis L'chakot. Which literally means, as Rashi says, have I made a habit of doing this? Am I always so stubborn? Do I not listen to your commands? I'm a good donkey. What schlucks do? What are you getting angry? What are you getting upset? But the Gemara sees ha'askin iskanti as an intimation for a relationship, a physical relationship. So the donkey tells Bilam, machnish kein amaisis, about your horses, you are deeply connected to me in more than one way, and not just as a beast to be used for transportation purposes, but a far deeper connection. That's a Gemara. So the donkey apparently is not just a small feature in Bilam's life and in Bilam's story, but it's a major feature in Bilam's story. Let's take this one step further. Bilam is not the first person to saddle his donkey in Chumash. The first person to saddle his donkey in Chumash is who? Avraham Avinu at the end of Vayeda, and we say it every single morning. Vayashkim Avraham Baboiker, Vayachavoish Es Chamoiron. Not a soinoi, but Chamoiron. Avraham had a male donkey that he used. Vayikach Eshnei Naravitei, Ves Yitzchak Bnoi, Vayivaka Atzioyla, Vayokam Ayelech Lamokam Hashem Aloyalikit. With this donkey, he goes to the Akedah, to the binding of Yitzchak. So Avraham Avinu saddles his donkey. Avraham is the first, but Bilam is not the second. In Parshas Shmos, there's another person who takes his donkey. Vayikach Moishes Ishtoi Ve'ezbonov, Vayarkivem al hachamor, Vayoshev Arts of Mitzrayim, Vayikach Moishes Matelikim B'yodim. Moshe takes his wife, Tzipora, and their two sons, Gershom and Eliezer, and he puts them on the donkey. They ride on the donkey back from Midian, their home, to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, where Moshe is about to begin his mission to redeem the Jewish people from Egyptian subjugation. Comes Rashi. And Rashi apparently is perturbed by the words, Vayikach Moshe es ishtoi ve'ezbonov vayarkivem al hachamoyr. It should have said, Vayarkivem al chamoyr. He took them on a donkey. A donkey. He rented a car. You would say today, he rented a car. He took a car. By I'm the donkey. Zogt Rashi, Chamoir HaMiyuchad. This wasn't just a donkey. This was a special donkey. Hu HaChamoir SheChavash Avram LaKedus Yitzchok. This is the donkey that Avram Avinu once used for the binding of Yitzchok. V'hu SheOsid Melech HaMashiach LeYigalus Alav. And I want to tell you, it's the same donkey that Mashiach one day will be revealed on this donkey. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Zecharia Perek Tes, that Mashiach will be Ani v'reichiv al-achamor, humble, riding on a donkey. The source of this Rashi is Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, Perek Lamed Aleph. Let's see inside. And he adds another chapter of history in this donkey that Rashi deletes. Hishkim Avram ba'boiker, Avram wakes up in the morning v'chavash es hachamor, and he saddles his donkey, the donkey. Hu hachamor ben ha'osoin shenivraz ben hashmashas. You know which donkey Avram uses for the Akedah? It's the donkey, the child, the son, the offspring of the female donkey that was created Erev Shabbos ben hashmashas during twilight zone. Hu hachamor shirachav alav Moshe b'voyel Mitzrayim. It's the same chamor that Moshe will drive going to Mitzrayim. Shenema v'yikach Moshe sishtaverkiv malachamor. Hu hachamor she'asid ben David lirkav alav shenemar ani v'reichav al chamor. And this is what ben David, what Mashiach is going to use as well. And of course, when he speaks about the female donkey created on Friday, he's referring to the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the fifth Pedek. The Mishnah says, Asara dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbos bein hashmashes. 10 things were created Friday. Twilight zone, one of the things are, pi ha'asoin. The mouth of the female donkey. But in Pirkei de Rebbe Lez, it's not only the mouth that was created. It's the very female donkey was created then. That means, the chamor of Avram, Moshe, and Mashiach are the child of who? Of Bilam's. Of Bilam's female donkey. Now, when we think about this, this is a very strange medrash. I mean, this donkey has been around. The Akedah happens in our tradition in the year 2084. Avraham Avinu was born which year? It's an easy year to remember. 1948. But not 1948. After the Common Era, 1948 in the Jewish calendar from creation. Almost before the beginning of the third millennium. Just, Gemara Avodah Zarah, 52 years before the end of before the year 2000, which is the beginning of the third millennium, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the 6,000 years are divided between Shnei Alafim Toyu, Shnei Alafim Toyra, and Shnei Alafim Yemais HaMashiach, 2,000 years of chaos, 2,000 years of Toyra, and 2,000 years which are leading up with the days of Mashiach. Avraham Avinu was born 1,948, it's right before the year 2000, with him concludes the 2,000 years of Toyu, of chaos, of anarchy, and begins the preparations, the Shnei Alafim Toyra, which will only happen 400 years later. Yitzias Mitzrayim Amatan Toyra will happen in the year 2448. It's good to know these numbers. You hear about Jewish history, it's good a little bit to put it in context. Avram is born in 1948. Yitzias Mitzrayim Amatan Toyra happened almost 500 years later, 2,448. Beis Alafim Tov Mem Ches. Avraham Avinu was 137 years by the Akedah, right? Yitzchak was born when he was 100. According to most Chazal, 37 years later is the Akedah. So the Akedah happens in the year 2084, I believe. Beis Alofim Pei Dalet, 2084. Now, according to the Pirkei Rebbe Lezer, this is the Chamor, who is the son of the donkey created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So already by the Akedah, the Chamor is 2048 years old. Now, this chamor is going to be used by Moshe coming to Mitzrayim. Moshe comes to Mitzrayim 1 year before the Exodus, in the year 2447. So that is literally 400 years later. 400 years later from the Akedah. So from the Akedah to Moshe, the chamor matures another 400 years. Now, if this chamor is waiting for Mashiach to come, so now this chamor at this point is 5,700 and 75 years old. Quite a donkey. I ask you a question. Vemen Feltesois. And if Mashiach will come in a Lincoln Town car? Okay, then you won't want to go after him, right? And if he comes on a new donkey, not on an old donkey? This is really the whole story. Suddenly the donkey is the most important feature. The same donkey, Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer says, and Rashi tells this to a child, it's the same donkey. Really, that's the issue. And if that Kedah would have been one donkey, and Moshe would have done another donkey, and Mashiach does a third donkey, and there was another donkey created out of Shabbos, well, how did the donkey suddenly become the greatest miyuchas in this whole story? I saw once a fascinating interpretation. Everybody probably have heard of Perek Shira. Perek Shira is, you wake up early in the morning, now it's 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, you'll hear that while many of us are sleeping, the birds are chirping, the deer are having a good time eating the grass on your porches, on your gardens, and the animal kingdom wakes up, and they start davening a little before Vesikin. They always daven Vesikin, they're never late. They're never late to Shacharis. And you can hear Selebedik in the flea, and it's a very spiritual moment. The world is asleep, there's less cars, there's no traffic, and the animals are singing to God. So in Perek Shira, the Chazal tell us what the animals are saying. And for each animal, for many animals that they enumerate, they give another pasuk, which they sing every morning to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's always a pasuk in Tanakh. The only exception is the frog. In his mouth, they put in the words, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusei Lailam Vod, which is not a pasuk from Tanakh. Why the frog is such a meyuchas that he never learned Tanakh? I'm sure I know others who never learned Tanakh, but only the frog says, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusei Lailam Vod. What does the donkey say in Perek Shira? So I would assume the natural association would be Yaakov gives a bracha about a donkey. Yaakov tells his son Yisachar in Parshas Vayechi, Yisachar, Chamor, right? Huh? Yeah. Yisachar Chamor Garam. Yisachar is a bony, solid donkey. But that's not what the donkey says. The donkey says a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, which we say every morning. L'cha Hashem ha'gdula v'ha'gvura v'ha'tiferes v'ha'netzach v'ha'hoid. Why does the donkey say that pasuk? There is an explanation on Perek Shira, a sefer called Shari Shimon. So he suggests a charming interpretation. He says, the Gemara says, a brachas dafnun ches. It's here, the next, you'll see in the following source, brachas dafnun ches amun aleph, l'cha Hashem ha'gdula zumai severeshis. To you, Hashem, there's greatness, that's the creation. Hakvura zu yitzias mitzrayim. B'masnis satana mishmeidu Rebbe Akiva, the b'raisu we learned from Rebbe Akiva, l'cha Hashem ha'gdula zu kriyas yamsof. Gvura zu makas p'chayrus, tifere ze matan teire, netzach ze Yerushalayim, hoid ze beis ha'mikdash. The various terms in the pasuk refer to these stages of history. Says the Shari Shimon, you know why the donkey says this? Because the donkey says, by each one, I was there. And I wasn't only there, I was a hoit mechutin. L'cha Hashem ha'gdula zeh ma'ase bereishis, I was created Erev Shabbos bein ha'shmashas with another 9 things. Ha'gvura zeh yitzias Mitzrayim, how do you think Moshe got to Mitzrayim in order to take them out of Mitzrayim? He used me. And therefore, Matan Torah. Then you have Atiferes, Vanetzach, you have Binyan Beis Hamikdash, you have Yerushalayim, you know how Mashiach is going to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, it's also going to be with me. So the Chamor says, I have been there in the beginning, I've been there in the middle, I'm going to be there at the end. This is his pasuk. Are we supposed to understand this literally? There's a Medrash Talpiyos, take a look, Erech Chamor. Medrash Talpiyos is, there are Medrashim that we don't have in the original. But later, great sages have made svarim of compiled medrashim that they had, although we don't have the original medrashim. One of these medrashim is called Medrash Talpiyos. It was compiled by a man named Rabbi Eliyahu HaKoyen. He was from the great Rabbonim in the 1500s who lived in Izmir in Turkey. He wrote a very famous sefer called Shevet Musar, which is still studied. It's a very famous Musar sefer, Shevet Musar. And he compiled Medrash Talpiyos. And there he says he found an old Midrashic manuscript, quite a strange Midrash, see inside. Frek the Midrash. Heichem nimtze b'yad Moshe chamor shel Avram avinu alav ha-shalom. V'alem Moshe hayu b'midyan. How did Moshe get the donkey of Avram? Avram lived in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe lived in Midyan. Where did he get hold of this donkey? V'yesh loimar, says the Midrash. Avram masro le Yitzchak. Avram took the donkey and he gave it over to Yitzchak. He used it for his hakeidah, he gave it to him as a gift. Yitzchak le Yaakov. Yitzchak gave it to Yaakov. Yaakov gave it to Levi, kedei lachzer al agronis lisa ha-maiser. Levi needed a donkey to go to the different storehouses to be able to get the maiser, to get the tithing of the Jews. He used this donkey. Levi Mosher le Kahas, Kahas la Amram, Amram la Moshe. Levi gives it to Kahas, Kahas to Amram, Amram now gives it to his son Moshe, who comes from Levi. Ukashabarach Moshe mipnei pari, rachav valzeach amor. When Moshe now escapes Egypt to go to Midian, after he kills the Egyptian, he uses this donkey to escape. So now when he's going back to Egypt, he uses the same donkey, which he received from Amram, who received it from Kahas, who received it from Levi, from Yaakov, from Yitzchak, from Avram. V'im toimar, if this is not enough, la'acha shemeis Moshe eichem nasa yisrei ha'chamar. In which museum is this chamar? In the British Museum? Where could you find this chamar? In the Israeli Museum? He told me he went to Prague. There was an old shamash there in the Maral Shul, the Alt Neishul, the old Nushul. So everybody comes to Prague. He goes to the shamash. He told this to me some years ago. The shamash was like 90 at the time. He says, "Who's the goylem? Where's the goylem? The zich the goylem kicking spiegel. You're looking for the goylem. Look in the mirror. It's the gefin in the goylem, right? The medrash is saying, where did this chamoy go end up? Different answers you can give to this medrash where the chamoy ended up. But let's hear what this medrash has to say." When Moshe goes up to the Mount Nevoi, where he passes away, don't think he goes up himself. He goes up with the donkey. The chamor is on Har Nevoi, enjoying the grass on the Nevoi mountain, till Mashiach comes and will retrieve the donkey from Har Nevoi. Suddenly, we have a donkey who's not only surviving 5,000 years, but becomes part of the Messiah of the greatest sages, of the greatest giants of our history. Avram Masra le Yitzchak, Yitzchak Masra le Yaakov. I don't understand what this means. I know you give over to your children. You give over Torah, you give over your Shemaim, you give over your Messiah, you give over your values, you give over your beliefs, etc. Here's a new Messiah, they're giving over donkeys. And it goes through all the generations, and when Moshe reaches the highest level, Har Nevoi, the Maggid of Mizrich says, Nevoi is Nun Boy, because he acquired the 50th Shar Hanun, the 50th Buddha. Make sure you know who goes up with him, nobody, besides one creature, the donkey, and Mashiach is going to take him from Har Nevoi. So I ask you once again, Malach Amoy with all of this, who first of all needs this? Such a miracle, a supernatural event. Who ever heard of this donkey? Can you see this donkey? Is this literal? Is it a parable? Comes the Maharal in his commentary, Gur Aryeh on Shmois, Vayakiv Malachamor, and a similar Maharal is in the Sefer Gvuris Hashem, says the Maharal, Ubepikid Rebbe Lezer Amru Sham, Huachamor Shirachav Alav Avram Avinu V'yesh Litmaya, Ma'oi, why was this donkey distinguished from others? Nobody says it wasn't a donkey. This donkey. This donkey has to remain eternal. Nobody lives beside the donkey and Eliyahu Hanavi. It has to be created from Sheshis and Eberatius. That's what he has to use. The donkey that was created, Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, who we now know is the child of Bilam's donkey, who's using a donkey that was also from Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos. Suddenly Bilam comes into the picture. What's going on there, asks the Maharal. And therefore the Maharal himself says this doesn't mean literal. It's the way the Chazal are expressing an idea. Comes the Tzroir Hamor. The Tzroir Hamor is another very interesting sefer. Tzroir Hamor was written by a Yid. His name was Rabbi Avram Sava. Samach Vez Ayin. He was a Jew from Spain. He was expelled from Spain with the hundreds of thousands of Jews in 1492. And he moved to Portugal, to the west. In Portugal, there were also terrible persecutions. His two children were abducted and coerced to convert to Christianity. He himself was tortured in Lisbon until he escaped to Morocco. He died on a ship on the way to Italy. Avram Sava wrote a sefer that's still learned. It's called Tzroir Hamor. And there too he compiled different medrashim in addition to his interpretation. It's a very deep book. And some of them that we don't have access to. There the Tzroir from before. So the Tzroir Hamor says on Vayera. Vayachvosh es chamoyroi miyoyim shenivra ha'oilam loy hoya adam shechavash chamoyroi atshaba Avram alav ha'shalom. From the day the world was created, there was no man whoever prepared, saddled his donkey until Avraham Avinu arrived. What does this mean? Nobody used a donkey till Avraham Avinu vayachvash es chamoyre. So the Rikanti writes that what it means is, I saw this once, the first, anybody here knows Chumash well? When is the first time a donkey is mentioned in Chumash? We have here a seasoned Bal Kaida, Rabbi Yosef. When is the first time a donkey is mentioned in Chumash? Nobody's a Google here.
Is it a wine or is it a chamoy?
A chamoy. A chamoy. Yosef sends with donkeys, but that's not the first time. We've just been learning about a donkey before Yosef. Huh? Yeah, you have also Shechem, Mechmen. A donkey as an animal. So the Rekanti says the first chamoy is mentioned in association with Avraham Avinu. That pshat. It doesn't mean that nobody used a donkey before Avraham Avinu. It's like yesterday. But the Rekanti says the first time the Torah tells the story of somebody using a donkey is Avraham Avinu. And that's the significance of this medrash. But what does this mean? And why would it be put in these words? Nobody was chayvish as chamoyde till Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, as we said, was born almost 2,000 years after creation. A donkey is, I think, one of the most ancient beasts that's been used for human transportation. Comes the Yalkut Ruveni. And the Yalkut Ruveni says the next source, Yisachar Chamor Garam. Yaakov Avinu blesses Yisachar and compares him to a bony donkey. Kiloimar. This means this. Sheramaz al Avram koidim shenizgayir nikra Avram minyan Garam. Umeshenizgayir nikra Avram minyan Chamor. Shehu Ramach. Avram is the numerical value of 243. Avraham is the numerical value of 248. Garem is Reish Mem Gimel. That's Avram before his Mila, before he becomes Avram, before his complete conversion. Once a hay is added from 243, it becomes 248. 248 is the gematria of Chamoyer. Ches Mem Reish. Reish Mem Ches is 248. That's Avram. That's the association with Avram, who is the gematria Chamoyer. Suddenly we learn here that Avram doesn't only use a donkey, it's the very gematria of his name after his conversion. And that's what Moshe is telling Yisachar. There's the stage of Garim and there's the stage of Chamoy. Comes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Chesam et Aleph, which is the source for what we learned before in Pirkei Rebbe Elazar and Rashi, and the Gemara says, Rebbe Alexandri taught Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked a contradiction. Ksiv, it says in Yeshaya, Be'ita, Uksiv achishena. The same passage Yeshaya Novi says, Mashiach may come in its time, or Mashiach may come in a hastened fashion. Achishena means speed it up. Zochu achishena. Loi zochu be'ita. If there is zoicha, it'll be fast. If they're not zoicha, it'll be in its time. Amr Rebbe Alexandri, Rebbe Alexandri continued, Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Ksiv, it says in Daniel, V'aruim ananesh maye kebari nishasa. They're going to go with the clouds of heaven, like a man coming, kebari nishasa, somebody who is like a man will come in the speed of the clouds of heaven. Uksiv, it says in Scharia Perik Tes, Oni v'roichav alachamor, he will come on a donkey. So will it be on the clouds of heaven or on a donkey? Zok de Gemara zochu iman hanishmaya. Loi zochu ani v'reichav alachamar. If they merit clouds of heaven, if not, a humble man coming on a donkey. You wanted to ask something? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So what do we see from here? Ani v'reichav alachamar is if loi zochu, if they don't merit. Comes the Gemara in Sanhedrin dafnun vav. If you dream about a donkey, I don't know if it ever happens, but if you dream about a chamor, you should anticipate salvation. Shenemar, the pasuk says, the same pasuk, Scharia Perik Tes, Hine Malkech Yovei Loch, your king is going to come, tzaddik, righteous, v'noisha, victorious, who on v'reichav al chamor, this is the source, Scharia Perik Tes. But we see, not only will Mashiach come on a donkey, there's another very fascinating medrash. When Yaakov returns from his 20 years by Lavan, and he's about to meet Esav in Eretz Yisrael, he sends a message to Esav, I've spent time with Lavan, Vayihili shor v'chamor. I've had there an ox, and I've had there a donkey. What's the chiddush? Zok de medrash rabba. Rabbanon amri, Rabbanon said, shor ze meshuach mulchama shenem abchor shor hader loy. Shor refers to a Kohen who was anointed to go to war. Chamor, which is Mashiach ben Yosef. Chamor zemelech haMashiach, shenemar oni v'reichav al chamor. When Yaakov wants to tell Lavan, Esav, he had Mashiach, he says, I had a donkey. In other words, the way he describes Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David is an ox and a donkey. So the very nature of Mashiach, how does he say, I had Mashiach? Vayhili shor v'chamor, I had a donkey. Let's see one more Gemara. And this really takes the cake, I think. Turn over your source sheets. Sanhedrin daf tzadik ches amid beis. Omar Ula said, Yesa, let Mashiach come. V'lo yichmin, I don't want to see him. V'chein amar Rabbi said the same thing. Yesa, let him come. V'lo yichmin, I don't want to see him. Let it happen, but I don't want to be there. Why don't I want to be there? So the Gemara explains, the challenges of the time will be so enormous that these great Amirayim said, I hope it happens. I just don't want to be there. Rabbi Yosef amar, Rabbi Yosef said, listen to his words. Yesa, let him come. And I do want to be there. But let's see how he says it. V'iske. I should be zoich. The esiv that I should sit. Betula. In the shadow. The kufisa. Of the dung. The chamre of his donkey. Let Mashiach come. And I am happy to sit. In the shadow. Cast. By the dung of Mashiach's donkey. He had no better way of expressing himself than he wants Mashiach to come. They're saying Mashiach should come. We don't want to see it. Rabbi Yosef says, not only do I want to see it, I'm ready to sit, not in the shadow of the donkey. Chalchalila, that's too good. In the shadow of the kufise de chamra. Rashi says, the ri'i, the excrement, the psoilus of the chamer, of the chamar, of the donkey. This is how he describes what he wishes for himself when Mashiach comes. So let's try to piece the puzzle together and understand the oimek, or at least some of the depth that the psukim and the chazal are conveying here with this unique historical donkey. Ad hayom hazeh, when in, I think almost most languages, the term chamor is a euphemism to describe a moron, an idiot. And it's a very derogatory term. You say, in modern Hebrew, hu chamor, he's a donkey. It basically represents somebody who's stupid. English has a very famous term for it, which I'm not going to repeat, in order to describe a donkey. And it basically describes somebody who, in your perception, is uniquely stupid. But the truth is, this is not just a slogan. We have two Gemaras that do exactly the same thing. The Gemara says in Baba Basra Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Chazal were very upset with Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and the way they said it was, Kol Abba Chamra. Upirish Rashi, Rashi says, Shaita kachamor. He is stupid like a donkey. The Gemara says in Adarim that Fayalef Amar Aleph. Ma ein mitzuyin talmidei chachamim lotzis talmidei chachamim bibneyim. Why do you see that very often talmidei chachamim don't have their children following their ways? Father's Robert shall call bnei agoyla, and the child is completely in a different space. What happens? So there's different explanations. Rabashi Amar mishum dekari le'in shichamri. Because Talmidei Chachamim are prone to call people donkeys. They look down at people. And they call them derogatory names. He's a donkey, meaning he's a shoite, he's a fool, he's an idiot, he's a moron. And the children see that, or experience that. So the children don't follow their father's path. That's what Reb Ashi says in Masechet Nedarim Daf Peyal. Now, I always wondered, why did the chamor get this yichis? That when you want to talk about stupidity, you're a donkey. Why? Why the donkey? So I researched, is it true that donkeys are stupid? I never spent a lot of time with a donkey. Is it true? It turns out that donkeys are not stupid. It's, you know, everybody's into animal rights. It's a grave injustice to the donkey to believe that the donkey is just a stupid animal. However, the donkey is a very stubborn animal. That, yeah. So the donkey doesn't respond to you. Other animals, you say something, they right away do it. The donkey, halt sich bei seins. So we have a tendency, when somebody doesn't follow what I say, he becomes stupid. You know what I mean? Right, I always, it says, minig yisol toiruhu. And minig is oisis gehenim. So how does it work? If it's your minig, it's oisis gehenim. If it's my minig, it's minig yisrael toiruhu. If it's your minig, it's a meshugan minig. If it's my minig, then it's toiruhu menashamayim. So if you don't follow my orders, you must be stupid. Like, what's wrong with you? I'm telling you to do this. I'm the most brilliant man living in this on this planet. You're not doing it. You must be an idiot, a shoita, a chamoir, a donkey. The truth is that donkeys are stubborn. They have a sense of stubbornness. And this is probably how they became associated with this concept of shaita. So I looked up one of these journals about donkeys. I'm going to quote to you. Donkeys have a notorious reputation for stubbornness. But this has been attributed recently to a much stronger sense of self-preservation than exhibited by horses. They worry about themselves. They want to take care of themselves. They're not just going to follow orders. They have a sense of ego. Likely based on a stronger prey instinct and a weaker connection with man, it is considerably more difficult to force a donkey or to frighten a donkey into doing something it perceives to be dangerous or harmful for whatever reason. So you're like, come on, Geishen. No, you're a shoite, you're an idiot, you're a moron. Maybe you're the shoite. Maybe you're the shoite. Once a person has earned their confidence, however, they can be willing and partners that serve as great companions and very, very dependable in work, which the Gemara says, kachamar lamasa. Although formal studies of their behavior and cognition are rather limited, donkeys appear in recent research to be quite intelligent, cautious, friendly, playful, and eager to learn. Yet, in many cultures, to call somebody a donkey means the person is an idiot. But donkeys are not necessarily stupid, and possibly scientists are saying they're quite intelligent. Then being equated to stupidity may have more to do with their stubbornness, not with their being stupid. Shine. Hopefully my donkey will be kind to me. Comes the Maharal, and in Gurarye, and in Gvurus Hashem, and this Maharal's idea, you have in Ponim Yofis, in Parsha Shmois, the Balafla, you have it in Pri Tzadik Parsha Shmois, you have it in Mincha Blula, you have it from the Baal Shem Tov we'll soon see. And they all say the same thing. Chamoir is the same oisius like Choymer. Choymer is the term we use for the physical. Chomer literally means the material, chomer, chumrius, the physical brute matter, that is what chomer is.
When we analyze the donkey, as we just did somewhat, we'll understand very deeply the association between the donkey and the physical. In every person there's a chamor. And the chamor in the person is the chomer in the person. The chumri is in the person. The physical animalistic dimension of the person, which we call the donkey, the chamor. There's a very interesting thing about the donkey in halacha. The donkey is a non-kosher animal. And yet, the donkey is distinguished from all other animals with one mitzvah that not one other kosher animal has. And what is that? Pidyon petach chamor. You have to redeem the first male donkey born in your farm. No such thing with a non-kosher animal. Every non-kosher animal that's born, you don't have to redeem it. You know why? It's not holy. There's one exception. A child, a human, first male born, pidyon haben, because there's a holiness in the pchayr, so you have to, so to speak, redeem him from the kayin, and you give the kayin money in lieu of having the child. That's called pidyon haben. And then, of course, you also have the pidyon of what? What we call pchayr. But this is what? A sheep, a goat, a bull, a behemah, kosher animals, where there's also the concept of pidyon pchayr, carbon pchayr. There's a certain holiness that you have to give to the kohen. The kohen could then, you know, bring it as a carbon. Until today, there's the kedusha in these animals with all the halachas. Non-kosher animals don't have that one exception, the donkey. You have a donkey, you can't just use the donkey. This, you have to redeem the donkey. How do you redeem the donkey? Many people say it every morning in Parshas Boy. You redeem it with a sheep. And the seh goes to the kayin, and you can keep your donkey. The holiness is conferred onto the sheep. So the chamor suddenly has a kedusha. And Chazal ask in Pchayrus why. One reason is it's a gzeris hakosuv. Another reason is because the chamor was part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because when the Jews left Mitzrayim, what did they put? Where did they put all the silver and gold and vessels that they carried? So the Gemara says every Jew had many, many donkeys. So the donkey was part of the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the donkey suddenly became holy. Only the donkey. This stupid animal that we call Kol Abba Chamra, the Korole Le'inshi, Chamri is the only one that has a Kedusha. What is the meaning of this? So here, we can begin putting the puzzle together. There's a very famous Medrash, everybody knows this. In the opening of Briyas Ha'olam, Va'aretz Ha'isasoyu, Va'voyu, V'choshech Al-Pnei Sohoim, V'ruach Elokim Ra'chefes Al-Pnei Amayim, the world was chaotic and dark, and there was absolute emptiness, and the Spirit of Hashem is hovering. In Yiddish they would say, Seshvept. It's hovering over the water, Chideng Flan Chedes, Seshvept, you remember? It's hovering over the water, says the Medrash. So soyu refers to the galus of Babel, the galus of Babylonia. Voyu refers to the galus of Persia, of Paras. V'choshech refers to the Malchus Yavon, to the Greek exile. Shech shichay neim shal Yisrael, they darken the Jewish eyes. Al-Pnei Sahaim, the abyss, refers to Malchus Roimi, to the Roman exile. Golus Edom, which destroys the second Beis HaMikdash. You have Babylonia destroys the first Beis HaMikdash. Then Persia defeats Babylonia. Then Greece defeats Persia in the famous wars. And then finally Rome occupies most of the world and destroys the second Beis HaMikdash, which plunges the Jews into exile, the fourth exile. V'ruach elekim erachefes al-pnei amayim zeh ruchoi shal melech ha-mashiach. In all this chaos of history, there's the spirit of Hashem hovering above the water, and this is the spirit of Mashiach, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin of Yochanan, it says, Lo Ivra Alma Ela L'Mashiach. The world runs through all this darkness and ultimately leads to the ultimate purpose, which is Mashiach. Who reigns supreme in the development of history from Ha'aretz Ha'isa Soyu V'Voyu till the Geula, till Melech HaMashiach? It's the chamor. The chamor is oisius chomer. The chamor represents the material dimension of the human being and of the whole world around us. The fact that we live in a physical body, in a physical world, and we know of nothing outside of that. What we see, what we sense, what we experience is a physical body, a physical presence, a physical existence, and a physical world. That's what the donkey represents. And this donkey evolves throughout history. Because the entire story of creation and the entire objective of existence and the entire drama of history is about our interaction and our relationship with the chamor, with the donkey from the word chaymer. Because the great objective of existence was, as the famous Medrash puts it, Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Nosai, Nis'ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyis lo yidira b'tachtoinim. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to have a home. Where? B'tachtoinim. In the lowest elements of reality, meaning in the chamor, in the chaymer. He didn't want to create a spiritual world, a world of spirit, a world of heaven, a world where physicality doesn't exist. To the contrary, the objective was dira b'tachtoinim, to find the harmony, to create unity between heaven and earth, between spirit and matter, between the soul and the body, between the higher and the lower. Kotzke famously said, "Hashemayim shemayim laHashem va'aretz nosin livnei adam." We say in Hallel, "God, the heavens is God's, and earth He gave to man." So the Gemara says in Brachas, "Kan koidim bracha, kan laachar bracha." So the Kotzke said, "Heaven belongs to God. Va'aretz nosin livnei adam, azezol machem from them shemayim." And earth He gave to man that the human being should turn earth into heaven. Heaven is God's. Heaven is, Hashem made heaven. V'ha'aretz nasan livnei adam, that the person should be able to find in Eretz Shemayim. The Baal HaTanya explained in Tanya in Igeres HaKodesh, we say Shabbos by Mincha, the Pasuk, Mi cha'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Literally means, who is like your nation Israel? One nation on earth, or a unique nation on earth, goy echad baretz, like Bilam will say, hein am levadad yishka. He explains it a little deeper, much deeper. Micha amcha Yisrael goy echad baretz, shegam binyone eretz, lo yafridu me echad ha'emes chas v'shalom. It's a goy that reveals echad baretz, that in eretz there's echad. And that's the great challenge in life. A person is a dichotomized creature between the self, selfish part and the selfless part, the spiritual, the physical, the soul, the body, the higher, the lower, the mind, the heart, the base addictions and challenges and instincts, sometimes very ugly dimensions of the human psyche. But a person is also a human being with dreams and lofty aspirations, and sometimes we can even be idealistic. And this is the great dichotomy of the human being himself or herself, between heaven and earth within us, between neshama and guf, between chaymer and surah. And the objective is to be able to not subjugate yourself and become a victim of the superficial physical instinct, but rather to be able to reveal the echad ba'aretz, to be able to harness the donkey and bring and elevate your own donkey and the donkey around you. It's basically the whole physical world. Goy echad ba'aretz. Nesava kadosh baruch hu yisleidir b'tachtayna. And in this story, we have three people. We have Avraham, and we have Moshe, and we have Mashiach. And they are the three great personalities of Jewish history. Avraham Avinu represents the beginning and the era before the Torah is given, the first 2,000 years of creation, 2,500 years. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who gives us Torah, and then Mashiach is the one who materializes, who culminates the story of history, the 6,000 years of a millennia. And that's why the Chamor resurfaces. It begins with creation, but it suddenly it surfaces to the center of the stage by Avraham Avinu. It makes a new appearance by Moshe, and it will make a third appearance, B'karev B'yameinu, by Mashiach, but each time it's different. And let's see how Torah HaChassidus analyzes this. Take the three stories, and if you'll study them well, you'll see there's a subtle difference in all three. Tzedah, Tzedidah. Take, you remember the Akedah? I want to ask you a question. When Avraham Avinu takes the donkey, what does he use the donkey for? Who goes on the donkey by Avraham Avinu's story? Huh? Not him and not Yitzchak. The wood, and the knife, and whatever the materials he used to create the fire. Vayashkim Avram baboiker, vayachvesh es chamoiroi, vayikach eshnei noravitoi, vayivaka atzayoyla. How do I know? Because what does it say? Vayomer Avram el na'arav, shvula chempoi im hachamoir. You wait with the donkey. Vaniva hanar, me and Yitzchok will go and we'll bow down. Vayikach Avram es atzay ha'oyla, vayosem al Yitzchok bnoi. Why did he have to put it on Yitzchok? Who was carrying it before? I'm asking you. The donkey. If they're using the donkey themselves, why did they leave the donkey with Shneina Arav? Right? They didn't use the donkey. The donkey was used for that material. At this point, they leave the donkey behind, and it sounds like they take the Eitzim and the Machelas. The Eitzim he gives to Yitzchak. Avram takes the Eish and the Machelas. Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov. By Moshe Rabbeinu, who uses the donkey? It says his wife and his children. Vayikach es ishtoi, right? Vayikach es ishtoi. What's the lashon? Vayikach Moshe es ishtoi ves banov, vayaki vei malachamar. He places them on the donkey. By Mashiach, who uses the donkey? Himself. Ani v'roichav alachamar. There's another difference. By Avram Avinu, it says vayachvosh es chamarai. By Moshe, you don't have any more vayachvosh. You have vayarkivim. Of course, you have to prepare a donkey, but it says vayarkivim. By Mashiach also, ani v'roich v'lachamar. So for Avram, he uses his physical resources. Moshe, his wife and his children. Mashiach, he himself, ani v'roich v'lachamar. This is not a small nuanced difference. It represents the three stages of history. Why? Because there's three stages in how history matures and develops its relationship with our own chamor, with our own donkey. And by way of intro, what's our relationship? And I want to ask you maybe a personal question. When you grew up in yeshiva, or wherever you grew up, how did you understand the role of the body in Jewish life? You don't all have to answer at once. How was the body seen in Jewish life? And do you think there's been a change of consciousness in this area? If you look in traditional sources, one can get the impression, and I'm doing it maybe a little black and white, and that is, the guf, that's the evil. The neshama, that's the holy. Black and white, like black and white cake. And it's dark and light. Elamai, we have a body, so deal with it. And one day we're told you'll work with your body and then you'll go into the world of bliss and in that world you won't have to deal with a body. And you have this in Rishonim, you have this in Sifri Musar. I mean, there's that concept in Kabbalah, it's called, the Zohar calls it Mishchid Chivya, the body is the skin of the snake. Okay, so, and then there's people that indulge in their bodies and they're seen, you know, as outcasts. And then there's tzaddikim who completely dedicate their life to their neshama and the body almost has no significance. And when we want to tell our stories, our children's stories of tzaddikim, we'll always talk about the person, you know, who didn't eat and didn't sleep and didn't take care of his body and doesn't even know he has a body. And when you looked at him, he looked half dead. But yet his soul was flying into heaven. That's the conventional education. Often, you know, the guf is bad, the neshama is good. The guf ultimately has to be suppressed as much as possible. I mean, you can't mamish kill it, so you have to deal with it. And the more righteous a person, the more discipline and the more repressed the body is, because it's gashmis, it's physical, and gashmis is always associated with evil, and it's just a necessary evil in this world to do avodas Hashem, and one day you get rid of it, and that's the tachlis. That's one perspective of the body. Till today, that trickles in into our education, into our consciousness. But as we will see, this is vayt from Pashat. It's not so Pashat this. Although everything I said, you could find a source, and I could tell you many sources for it. The body is ridiculed, and the body is seen as the epitome of all evil, and we all understand why. But this is really only one stage in development. And it's certainly not the higher stage of development. And if you'll see something interesting today, you'll notice And this is really, I think, what we could learn from all of this is, you'll notice that today, to educate young people to disregard their bodies and basically only take care of their minds and souls is an educational mistake. Not only because achshadari, because we're such physical, brute, barbecue-addicted modern creatures who are so physical, there's no choice. You have to let people, you know, exercise and take care of their bodies. There's really something much deeper. The general shift of consciousness that people are more aware of their bodies and are focused often on nutrition and taking care of their bodies and exercise is not essentially evil or bad. On the contrary, there's three stages in Yiddishkeit of how we bring the Chomer and the Tzura together. Avraham Avinu is pre-Matan Torah. Moshe is Matan Torah. Mashiach is the ultimate. You can't go to three without one and two. You can't go to two without one. But you don't stay at one. You go from one to two at three. Now, when we speak about these three stages, it's not only historically, it's also conceptually. I could live today like before Matan Torah. And I could live today, a lot of people do that. And I could live today like Matan Torah. And I could already introduce today the concept of the Gula, the concept of Mashiach. And in each of our lives, we have all three stages. So yes, although it sets itself up chronologically in history, but the same three stages exist in our own consciousness, exist in our own yeshivas, exist in our own homes, and exist in our own communities. Stage one is Vayachvoish es Chamoirai. You have to teach the Chamoir Asada Balabos of the Welt. We call it good old discipline. And I think the best way to describe this is Amaisa, say Amaisa. The Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Shnei Zalman of Liadi, the Baal HaTanya of Shulchan Aruch, was born in a city called Lyozhne, which is in Belarus. They used to call it Vice Rusland, White Russia. When he got older, he had a choice to go to Vilna or to go to Mezrich. He himself, they called a Litvak. By nature, by disposition, his way of thinking, he was a Lithuanian. The Chassidim, his Chavedim called him the Litvak. It's interesting, the founder of Chabad was seen as the ultimate Litvak. That's what they called him, the Litvak. The Mezritch Maggid called him the Litvak. So naturally, he wanted to go to Vilna, to go to the Gaon of Vilna. He decided to go to Mezritch, and as they say, the rest is history. Mezritch is not Vilna, Vilna is Lithuania, Mezritch is the Ukraine. That's where Reb Doiv Ber was, the student of the Baal Shem Tov. The Maisa that they say is that the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, said that he heard in Vilna they teach you how to learn, and in Mezritch they teach you how to daven. He says, learn and kenich shoyn abissel, daven and kenich bechlal nisht. As you know, davening is not easy. Learning, I already know a little bit how to learn. I don't know how to daven. He chose to go to the Mezritch Maggid. He was unimpressed and he decided to leave. Because as a Litvak, he needed other things. And then he saw they brought a lung to the Mezritch Maggid. And the way he analyzed the halachas of Bdikas, Hareya, and Treifas, he was so impressed, he decided to stay with the Maggid. Also an interesting mice. Al Kolponim, he was by the Maggid. He got permission from his wife to be there. I believe for almost two years, 18 months, I think. He got permission, which was sometimes the derech. His brother didn't get permission. He told him to go back, but he got permission. He was by the market. He was about to leave to go back home, and he gets into the coach. The Maggid made a chavrusa between him and his son. His son was Reb Avraham HaMalach, Reb Avraham the angel. The Ruzhina came from him, and he was a chavrus. The Baal HaTanya taught him Nigla, and Reb Avraham HaMalach taught the Baal HaTanya Nister. 3 hours and 3 hours every day. The Baal HaTanya enjoyed it so much, he changed the clock. Reb Avraham was an abstract person. He changed the clock. It should be earlier. And he said, it says in Zoya that Loi Signoiv, after Loi, there's a psik. Loi Signoiv, don't steal. That when it comes to this, when it comes to Torah, so you could steal, to steal more Torah from somebody. And he said, those hours that he changed the clock and he got it out from Rav Malach, Mayim Gnuvim Yom Toku was the best Torah. It was the sweetest waters are stolen. Maisa Shoya Kachoya, he was leaving back home. On his way home, Rav Ram Malach, who was a Kaddishan, they called him an angel because he was a Malach, Alekim, comes out to escort his friend the Baal HaTanya home. And for him, everything was Kedush, everything was Ruchnias. So he sees the Matzev, they're going. So the Balagola is sitting by the coach and he's ready to start whipping the horse to go. So Avraham HaMalach gives a Geshrei. Midav Shmeis in the Feld. You have to whip the horses. And now here, there's two versions by Chassidim what he said. The end of the story is the same. One version is, he says, Midav Shmeis in the Feld. Bis as his own wissen ze seinen Feld. You gotta whip the horse until it becomes aware it's a horse. There's another Gersa. He said, Midav Shmeis in the Feld. You have to whip the horse until it ceases to be a horse. B'cholov, the Balatanya heard this, and he said, I just got a new derech in Avodas Hashem, I can't go home yet. And he got off the coach, it wasn't a coach, it was probably a wagon, horse and buggy, and he stayed in Mizrich for another little while, and then he went home. So I once heard from my Rebbe, it's not two girsas, it's the difference of Avraham's Avodah and Moshe's Avodah. You whip the horse until it knows that it's a horse. You whip the horse, bisevet oisvert. It's two ways of dealing with chamoir, choymer. One is vayachvoish es chamoir, says it's right hamoir. Ad sheba Avraham Avinu. What's the lashon over there? Miyoyim shenivra oilam loyhaya adam shechavash chamoir ad sheba Avraham. Of course there were people that used their donkeys. But loyhaya adam shechavash chamoir. There was no person who whips the horse to the point that at least you should know you're a horse. I don't care if you're a horse. Atmanished. But at least know you're a horse. What did Bissol Salanta say? It says in the end of Masechta Soita, Pnei Hador ke Pnei HaKelev. The face of your generation before Mashiach will be like the face of the dog. He says, why? It's such a beautiful compliment. Especially today, everybody has dogs. Pnei Adur ke Pnei HaKelev, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the founder of the Musa movement, Rabbi Yisrael Lipkin Zatzal said, what's pshat? He said, you ever saw a dog? The dog always likes running ahead, right? You ever owned a dog? You never owned a dog. The dog always, you have a puppy, the dog always likes running ahead. It's a macher, you know, goes ahead, a block, two blocks, three. But then Rabbi Yisrael says, when it comes to a fork, it'll never take, it'll turn around. He'll turn around and wait. It needs directions. It says, Pnei Adur ke Pnei HaKelev. Sometimes the leaders, they're going ahead, they're leaders. But whenever it comes to a difficult situation, they turn around. What do the polls say? What was the latest up-edge page of the New York Times? What does the Supreme Court have to say about morality? You turn around, Pnei Adur ke Pnei HaKelev. I don't care if you're a horse, but to know that this is a horse. And that's a tremendous avoida. Don't change your chaymer. Don't destroy your chaymer. Know what it is. And therefore, don't be a slave to it. Don't worship it. Don't you define yourself by it. On the contrary, realize that its ultimate calling, its ultimate purpose is to serve as your horse. To serve as your donkey. That's stage one. This is Knias HaChaymer, the subjugation of the Chaymer, and it's a tremendous moment in Avodas Hashem. Let's take the world of a more base world, the world of addiction. A person in recovery, and those here in recovery know exactly what I'm talking about, a person in recovery, you don't change your addiction. Person got up, I was at a Shabbaton, he says, I've been in recovery for 33 years, and he introduces himself as an alcoholic. I say, why do you have to introduce yourself as an alcoholic if you didn't say L'chaim in 33 years? You hear? This Yidden who just got drunk yesterday by Kiddush, they don't call themselves alcoholics. You 33 years, Ostenish Genomen came bitten and trappen. You know what a bitten and trappen is? A bitter drop. And you call yourself an alcoholic. And he said, Rabbi Jacobson, the moment I stop calling myself an alcoholic, I'll become an alcoholic. You want to stay sober? You have to say, I'm an alcoholic. I have a chamoir, and it's a choymer, and it's a donkey, and it wants other things, but at least I know what it is. The ferd zol visner is a ferd. And you could put it in its place. The greatest challenge in life is not that we have negative thoughts. That's not a problem. Not that we have depressing thoughts. That's not a problem. Not that we have immoral inclinations. That's not a problem. The problem is when you don't put them in their place. You don't classify them. You have to say, okay, now my depression set into my brain. Okay! The chamor started to, what's the word? Bray. Right, bray? What does a chamor do? Chamor noyer, the Gemara says. Chamor brays. Okay! The horse started to grunt. Shine! Fine! The problem is you think you are the depression. Winston Churchill suffered from tremendous depression. He writes in his autobiography that the way he dealt with it, he led the world in victory against Hitler. So history is in debt to Winston Churchill. Even though he was far from a perfect person. And his oratory skills were tremendous and his leadership was great and he suffered from a depression. And he writes in his autobiography, I believe he writes, that the way he came to deal with it was, he compared his depression to a black dog that always accompanies him. Imagine you have a black dog that's always with you. And suddenly it starts barking. What do? You look at the dog, shah. Or you let it bark. The problem is, imagine you decide that you are the black dog. And this was a very brilliant idea. Because it's really this idea that the horse should know it's a horse. Okay, the black dog is now barking. Okay, so in my mind, I have this black dog that started to bark. I'm this, my life is worthless, my marriage is worthless, I hate everything about my life, I just want to leave everything, I just want to go and do the worst. Everybody knows their own thoughts in their dark moments, I don't have to elaborate. Yodah inish benafsha, right? That's not the issue, fine. Welcome to the United States of America, welcome to the club. So you also have a chamor beseder. So your black dog spoke up. Doesn't mean that's all of you. You have to sober up. Stop barking tomorrow, in a week, in a month, in a year. Sometimes it's harder, sometimes. That's step one. Vayachvashas chamor. That's why, what does Avraham Avinu put on the chamor? Avraham Avinu puts on the chamor, not himself. Not even Yitzchak. The chamor takes you to places that you can't get on your own. What he puts on the chamor is, the chamor becomes a vessel, a receptacle, which carries the wood, the knife, the fire, it becomes an assistant. It becomes a helper. But it's not a chamor that's going to transport, that's going to journey, that's going to bring Avraham and Yitzchak from one place to another place that they can't get on their own. Because what the chamor is basically being used for is it's being subjugated as an instrument, as a tool. Instead of being an obstacle, you put it in its place and you say, listen, you're here to serve. You're here to serve as an instrument. What does this mean practically in a person's life? It means you'll be able to tell the horse, I'm not going to become your slave. Your job is I have to subjugate you, I have to confront you, I have to educate you, I have to put you in the place, I have to deal with you. Sometimes successfully, sometimes less successfully, and therefore the chamor takes the eish and the eitzim and the machalas. But Torah, Matan Torah, takes us to the second level. Or in Reb Avraham HaMalach's words, Medav Shmais in the Ferd, Biz says on very oisfert. What does this mean? This means something much deeper. And let's see the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma. Okay, we'll first do the Medrash Tanchuma. You see, in the second side, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. In the second side, the middle of the page, Tanchuma ve'erezak the Medrash. Mashalamadavadoima. What's the marshal of Torah, Matan Torah? L'melech shegozav amr b'nei doim l'yerdu l'suria b'nei suria l'yalu l'raymi. The king said the members of Rome should not go to Syria, the people of Syria should not go to Rome. Kach k'shebarach k'desh baruch v'soylam gozav amr ha-shamayim, shamayim l'ashem varet nosin l'vnei adam. K'shebikesh litines ha-Torah botil ha-sagzeid ha-harishayna v'omar ha-tachtoinim yalu l'alyoinim v'alyoinim yerdu l'tachtoinim. Before Matan Torah, there was a decree separating heaven and earth. The higher shall not come down, the lower should not go up. Matan Torah, resound Matan Torah, obliterated that gezeirah between Elyoinim, Elyoinim Yerdu, Tachtoinim Yalu. What does the Medrash mean here? The Medrash means this is stage two in dealing with the Chaymer. What happens now is not only that the body, the horse, is put in its place as a complete slave, subjugated to the soul, but there's a deeper component. You could be in a position where you impact, you influence the ferd, the kedusha of the neshama, The Kedusha of Hashem permeates the body. The body is not only an enemy, an obstacle that has to be disciplined and harnessed and put in its place. And not only shouldn't become the boss, but it should always know its role to serve you. And what's the you? The you is not the body. The you is the soul. Means the chaymer could be sublimated. The chaymer doesn't have to be subjugated. It can be transformed. It can become a partner. It can become an extension of a person's kedusha. The body is not evil, essentially. The body is not bad. The body is not detached from God. Of course, before Matan Torah, there is a superficial decree that separates heaven from earth. But what Matan Torah accomplished, and the whole Torah and mitzvahs is based on this. We learned before Shavuos about the cheesecake, Tato Gavar, that the lower one, ultimately, is the tachlis, the lower one prevails. If you remember the milchiks, the fleishiks, the chesed, the gemura. And the point here is, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to Mitzrayim on the way to redeem the people and give them the Torah. And who does he place on the donkey? His wife and his children. Not Vayachvosh, Vayarkivim al HaChamor. The Gemara says in Erevin, the Gemara says in Brachas Chavdalet, Ishtoi Kegufoi Damya. The wife is like the body of the husband. Husband and wife are two halves of one soul, an extension of each other. Bera, the Gemara says in Erevin, Bra karadavuha. The son is the leg, the foot of the father. In other words, the extension of the father. Vayarkivein. Moshe takes his wife and his children. This is not just his eitzim, his wood. It's his own expansion. It's his own extension. It's his own family. And they are transported by the chamor. Not Moshe Rabbeinu himself. But what happens here? Here the chamor becomes a partner, a full companion. The chamor here becomes a full partner that assists in journeying Moshe's wife and children and bringing them from one place to another place. It's not only you're subjugating it, but you have elevated it. You have created a dent. You have created a transformation. The guf should not be seen as evil essentially and eternally. The guf should be seen ultimately. If you work with it, you can train it, you can refine it, you can cultivate it. It's hard, it's difficult, but what you call stupid may only be from your perspective. It may be stubborn. The yesh has the sense of self-preservation. I come now back to why we call the donkey stupid. It's easy to dismiss it and say there's no seichel, but really the body has a depth. It focuses on self-preservation. It's a yesh. But if you understand that essentially you're dealing with the creation of God, and essentially the objective of Matan Torah is Halyonim Yedel Tachtoinim, you can work with it, you can educate it, you don't have to obliterate it, you don't even have to subjugate it, ultimately become a partner, a Talmud, a full student of the Neshama. That's stage two. So we have Avram's stage, we have Moshe's stage. And that's why the Chamor makes a second appearance. In the middle, in this process, you have Bilam. And Bilam also comes along with a donkey. And apparently it's the same family of donkeys. But Bilam understands the donkey very different. And this is the difference between Bilam and, of course, Avram Avinu. Let's take a look in Keser Shem Tov from the Baal Shem Tov. He quotes a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. This is a fascinating interpretation. The pasuk says in Mishpatim, when you'll see Kisira Chamor Sarnacha. You remember the pasuk? You'll see the donkey of your enemy. Roivitz Tachas Masoy. It's crouched under a heavy burden. The Chadalta Me'azovla. You don't want to help him. It's your enemy's donkey. Zok the pasuk Azov Tazov Imoy. It's a mitzvah to help the donkey. It shouldn't suffer even though it's your enemy. Remove the burden. Help the donkey stand up and be sensitive to the donkey's needs. A halacha. Comes the Baal Shem Tov and he explains the pasuk. And listen to these words. Because essentially we have a shift of consciousness. Kisire chamor. Kasher testakel bi'iyun toiv ba'achoymer shol choy shuhu aguf. Kisire. When you're going to study well your choymer, your own body, your own physical self. Sire, you're going to focus, you're going to become aware, you're going to discover. Soinacha, it's your enemy. The body is the enemy of your own soul, which yearns for godliness and transcendence for truth. And the chamor is your enemy. So you have in you literally opponents fighting with each other all day. The neshama is a chelek alekami mal. All it wants is dveikus in Hashem. And the guf says it's Sunday afternoon. After Costco, we got to do other things. And they're enemies. How do you deal with this? The Baal Shem Tov is asking you the fundamental question of the dichotomy between soul and body, between the two parts of every person. Va'oid sira. And then you'll discover next thing. Shehuroivitz tachas masai. Not only is he your enemy in his heart, but he's crouching under his burden. Shenosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'aguf shiyizdachicha de'teiru mitzvahs. Va'aguf misatzel b'kiyumam. Hashem gave the body a burden. He wanted the body should be refined through teiru and mitzvahs. And the body is lazy, so it's crouching under the burden. It's like, I don't want to wake up. I don't want to work. I don't want to refine. I don't want to. It's your enemy, and it's roivitz tachas masai. You may think, what do you do? So one path is, you say, you know what? I only have a body. I don't have anything else. I'm going to make peace with my body. I'm going to give back the territory to the body. And that's it. That's one approach. You don't want to struggle. The other approach is, you're very well aware of your other side. So you say, v'chaldalta me'azoiv loy. I'm going to abandon it. Sheyucha l'kayim shlichusay. I'm not going to help the body fulfill its mission. You're going to start the avoda, which was embraced by many great people. The Baal Shem Tov is not negating here something that has no place in Jewish history. There were many Hasidei Ashkenaz and many others who were very into sigufim. What's sigufim? Sigufim is you mortify your body. You basically torture it. We mean torture it in a way that's mutar api shulchan aruch, but basically, you say, you know what, this body is not part, I'm not going to make it part of my life anymore. V'chadalta me'azoiv loy. Lishbar es achumriyes. I'm going to break it, I'm going to repress it, I'm going to crush it. I'll teach it who its boss until the point, basically I'll give it the minimal that I need to survive, and that's it. Says the Baal Shem Tov, big loaded words. Hinei loy bezu haderech yishkan oir ha-Torah. This is not the way that the light of Torah will dwell in you. It's a brechnish de guf, arbit mit de guf. And let's compare it to you have two children in the classroom. One is a goody-goody and one is rebellious. One way is, I have nothing to do with you, get out of my yeshiva, get out of my house, I don't want to do. And if you sit there, you're quiet, you don't say a word, I'll let you be here. But don't, God forbid, think you're part of this process. That's one derech. Another derech is no. If you'll study the child, you'll see that beneath the rebelliousness, there's really a deep yearning. And beneath the challenges, there's really a deep goodness and spirituality. You have to have patience, you have to work with it. But don't destroy it. Don't break it. Don't crush it. Help the donkey stand up. Put the right burden on it. Focus on what it needs. Words of the Baal Shem Tov. And this is 1700s. Baal Shem Tov was born in 1698 and passed away in the year 1760 on Shavuos. The founder of the Hasidic movement. You knew this word of the Baal Shem Tov. Hestul Avart. Why? Because ultimately he sees this as Matan Torah. Of course, you could be, I told you before, you could be after Matan Torah and still before Matan Torah. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is Megala, that the ultimate Tachlis is, work with it. Don't crush it. You only work with something that has very deep potential. If the Chamor was really stupid essentially, so what do you deal with? What do you do with a shaita? But chamor is really, the Megala Amukah says, chamor is oisius rachum. And chamor is the gematria of Avram. So already Avram Avinu has a relationship with the chamor. Vayachvish is chamor. Moshe Rabbeinu, his wife and his children are carried through the chamor. Ishtoi kegufoi. It's almost like the chamor is part of his shutfus. It's part of his expansion. It's part of his I don't mean it's part of his family, but it's part of what's carrying his family, what's transporting his family. Comes the pasuk and says, "Vayakom Bilam ba'boyke vayachvish es chasoynay zokrashi mikan shasinim mikalkelus es hashura shechavashu ba'atzmai." Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Rasha kvar kadma chavram aviyem shenemar vayashkem Avram ba'boyke vayachvish es chamoynay. When Bilam saddles his donkey, Hashem says, "Avram Avinu did it before you." This is not just two people saddle their donkey; it's the same concept. What's the concept? Says the Maharal in Derech Chayim. Yesh tchila yesh lecholadas inyan Avram v'inyan Bilam. You have to understand Avram and Bilam. Avram haya roish l'umma Yisraelis. V'chein haya Bilam roish l'ummas levisha haya navi l'ummas. Avram is the father of the Jewish people. Bilam is the prophet of the nations. M'pnei shah roish v'alyin yesh leis alus b'yoyser. L'fichach nimtza beiz dvarim etzil Avram u'bilam b'shava. Shebishneim k'siv ayachvich es chamoyne. B'bilam k'siv ayachvich es hasoyne. So they're similar. Both of them are doing the same thing. They're leaders. Therefore, they both have donkeys and they both have shnei na'arav. They both have two lads that follow them. Avram is ala al hamadrega hachumris. Avram elevates himself on the choymer, on the material. Avaleitza Avram ksiv chamor shehu zachar. Kila Avram ain't siruv klal hachumris. Rak roichiv umis ala alav biyoyser. Ule bilom lefi madregoso chibur el hachumri. Shenemar ahaskin iskanti lasas lucham eloshem atihila melech soichenes. Shebilom hoyam ischaber lachoymer. Ah, you see the difference of Bilom. Bilom! He's having baal asoyne, the Gemara says. He's having intimacy with the chamor. What does this mean? Avram and Moshe are roich v'malach chamor, v'yachvash es chamor. Bilam now becomes the recipient of the chamor. Bilam now becomes, instead of attaching, instead of using the chamor, instead of harnessing the chamor, instead of elevating the chamor, what happens is, he completely unites. He lowers himself to become a chamor himself. He becomes the chamor. And that's why it's the asoin. It's the feminine. It's the zachar and the keva. He's having intimacy with the chamor. Instead of understanding that the chamor is a challenge in order to be able to elevate it either on the first level or the second level, Bilam says, you know what? My chamor speaks. This is it. The voice of the chamor, this is the exclusive voice. And he lowers himself. And we could understand what this means. Bilam's intimacy with the chamor is really a metaphor for life. We all have a chamor in us. But what do you do with that chamor? When that chamor speaks up, one perspective is, that becomes my exclusive voice and I define my entire life based on it. The black dog, that's me. The donkey, that's me. The horse, that's me. I have an instinct, I have a craving, that's me. And I try to silence for the rest of my life the small inner cold mama daka of the part of me that yearns for truth, for dveikus, for elikus, for ruchnius. And we have many distractions and opportunities to be able to do that in life. Can you give me the tissues? That's Bilam. Baal asoinai. And that's why the Maharal says it's Zachar versus Nekeva. By Avram Avinu, it's not an asoin, it's a chamor. Between a female and male, by human beings, you have intimacy. It's taka plagufa. They're supposed to be partners, a husband and a wife. A person and a donkey. Vayachvash es chamoyde. But for Bilam, right? By Avram it says, koila shatamir elacha sara shma b'koila. And whatever the donkey tells Bilam, shma b'koila. It's a whole different relationship. It's a whole different connection. But in a very funny way, we see something. And that is, who gets to see the angel? The donkey or Bilam? The donkey. Who's really observing the ruchnius? The donkey. Where is the behemoth tmeya with his pidyon? The donkey, pidyon petach hamor. This is the irony, this is the paradox. Bilam, you are lowering your whole self in order to become like the donkey. Don't you realize that the donkey in its core is craving kedusha? Azoiv tazoiv imoy. This is the paradox. When you lower yourself down to the donkey, you're not only betraying yourself, you're betraying the donkey. The chamor is begging, ozev tazev imoy. The rebellious kid is not really bad. Don't get down on the floor and say, let me destroy this building together with you. What he's begging is, you should see his pnimius and help him become who he really is. Help be megale, the tachtoinim, that it's really part of elyoinim. The asoin sees the malach. The asin sees the spiritual. Chamor is the gematria of Avram. Pinyin petach chamor. It has the kedusha. It took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So you're not only betraying your soul, you're ultimately betraying your chamor. Azev tazev imoy. The chamor is more spiritual than Bilam. That's the story. That's the irony. That's the humor of the story. And now we come to step three. And step three in history is Mashiach. And by Mashiach, it's not that his wife and children use the donkey. Mashiach himself is Oni V'Roichev Al HaChamor. And what this represents is a third Bechina. It's not only that the body is a partner and is a Talmud and is a recipient of the Neshama, to the point that the Kedusha of the Neshama doesn't only have to subjugate the body and keep it quarantined and crushed somewhat, but Azev Tazev Imoy, he can impact the body and influence the body and elevate the body. Mashiach is going to be Megala, the ultimate Kedusha that exists in the body itself. And therefore, he himself will be transported through the Chamor. Ani v'reichav al ha-chamor, he'll be Megala. That the same Ribbono shel Olam that exists in the Neshama exists in the Guf. And the same God that's in heaven exists also in the earth. And that there's no difference between Elyonim and Tachtoinim. And therefore, the Guf itself, Metzrayim Einoid Malvadai. The Chamor itself. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'asin, the Chamor itself will scream the same Einoid Melvadi of the Neshama. Mashiach himself will be elevated through the body. And in Sifrei Achsidus it says even deeper, that in some ways the Kedusha of the Guf is higher than the Kedusha of the Neshama, because Kol HaGavoya B'Yoyser Yorid L'mata B'Yoyser, that which is higher goes down much lower. Even deeper, I don't want to get into it, Bariches, because it's a whole sugya in the Torah of the Baal HaTanya, but the Nekuda Mamash in 1 minute is, Ruchnius is that part of the world that feels its source. Gashmius, the Yesh, the donkey, doesn't feel its source. You'll ask the rock, where did you come from? He says, why? I come from somebody, from somewhere. I am I. Mitziusi me'atzmusi. I don't have a source. Ruchnius points. Gashmius doesn't point. Gashmius says, I am for me. What do we say? By the people, for the people, from the people. I am for myself, by myself, with myself, forever myself. That's the yesh. Conventional wisdom and spiritual sensitivity says, fe. Alatanya writes, it's really much deeper than this. Why? If you go back to the source of everything, so the Ribbono shel Olam, there's one more existence in the world that also doesn't have any source. Just like the Yesh HaGashmi, the ego says, I have no source. I am my own source. I don't feel I come from somewhere. Even human beings, we know we have fathers and mothers. But instinctively, we don't feel that we have a source and we don't feel we're going to die. We feel that we're invincible. Where did this Hergish come from? Where did this fantastical, narcissistic, egotistical conviction that I come from nowhere and I owe nothing to anybody, this sense of Yeshus, where did it come from? Everything comes from the Ribbono shel Olam. Where did that come from? And his answer is, this was a letter that he penned a few days before he passed away. It's printed in Tanya in the fourth section of Geres HaKodesh, chapter 20. And the answer is, this comes from one source. What's another place of something that Taka has its own source and doesn't have any beginning? And the answer is Hashem himself. Mitziusoi me'atzmusoi. His mitzius comes from himself. All ruchnius in the world comes kevayachol from Hashem's oir, from Hashem's energy, from Hashem's presence. Hashem's energy, Hashem's light, Hashem's name, Shmoy Echad, has a source. Light comes from the sun. The rays of the sun have a source. Ruchnius comes from Hashem's light, and the light senses its source. You separate the sun from the rays of the sun, you shut the Venetian blind, there won't be any light anymore. Because the light is always connected to its source. Gashmius, the yesh, it originates kivayochel in Hashem's atzmus, in Hashem's essence. And Hashem's essence has no source. And therefore the body also feels that it has no source. The reason the body feels it has no source, because it's rooted in the essence of Hashem, which really has no source. It is its own source. So even though when we look at our bodies, we look at it as a yesh that feels it has no source, it has no God, the real reason it has that feeling is because it's rooted in a deeper emes of atzmus u'mahus, of the essence kivayachal of Hashem, and therefore it has that sense of yesh. So when you reveal that in the body, you realize that the ultimate sense of selfhood in the body is really a reflection of the ultimate yesh, the yesh hanivra, the yesh of the ego is really rooted in the yesh hamiti, in the real yesh. So not only don't you have to subjugate it, and not only don't you have to influence it with the light of the soul, ultimately there comes a day when the body will teach the soul the truth, when the soul will receive from the body, ani v'roichev ala chamor, he will be nizgala to the world from the chamor, from the choymer, from the gesha. This is the real meaning of, we talk about self-esteem. The real meaning of self-esteem is when you realize that the ultimate self, the ultimate sense of self, there's always the tension between religion and self-esteem. Are you a slave of God? You have to believe in yourself. And ultimately, the two are not a contradiction. The ultimate self, the ultimate true self is, even the sense of selfhood is a reflection of the ultimate yesh. But history is a process. I can't begin this way. I can't say, oh, my narcissism, that's God's narcissism. That's very, very dangerous. A person could become a real neurotic narcissist. There's the stage of Avraham, there's the stage of Moshe, and then there's the stage of Mashiach. Mashiach himself will be revealed through the chamor. So when Yaakov Avinu wants to define that he had Mashiach, he defines it through the chamor. That's the Messiah. Avram gives the chamor to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. What are they giving over chamorim? No. The secret of Yiddishkeit is that they pass down from generation to generation the mechanism to work with the chamor, to elevate the chamor, to harness the chamor, to subjugate the chamor, to sublimate the chamor. And in each of our lives we have three stages. There's days that you wake up and the donkey is really being stupid and stubborn. And you have to turn to it and say, Bista Chamor, you're a donkey, and that's it. I'm going to put you in your place. That's some days. And other days, where your Chamor is in a different state, and you work with the Chamor. And then there's deeper days where you actually have to ask your body how it's feeling. There's days that you have to turn to your guf and tune into the music of your body. And I think that the consciousness change that we see today with the body, we're used to always saying that everything in the modern world is evil. But that's also, there's a point to it, but it's also a big mistake. The koiches of modernity that get developed are the Ribbono Shel Olam's gifts. They're not coming from Sitra Achira. Sitra Achira doesn't control this world. Hashem controls this world. Like every koyach in the world, it could be used for good, and it could be used for negativity. The koyach of electricity that they invented, that they discovered, they didn't invent it, is not evil. Can it be used? Can it be used for negative purposes? Of course, even a knife. You could use the knife to cut a challah, and you can use a knife for other things, as we all know, unfortunately. And the same is true with atomic energy. The same is true with radio. The same is true with television. And the same is true with cyberspace. These are tremendous koyches that Hashem allowed human beings to discover in his world that can be used for either destructive purposes or for mala ha'aretz deyes Hashem kamayim layam mechasim. This is the bechira of each person. But what's the emes of it? The emes of it, it's created by Hashem. Kol masha bara kadosh baruch hu ba'ilamai le'broi ela lechvoide. This is what we have to understand. This doesn't mean there's no nisyonis, and this doesn't mean that people should be addicted to computer screens. Of course, you have to realize sometimes people could get addicted and it could become a terrible habit and then they use it in a destructive way. But the essential idea here is not that the chamor is evil, but that the chamor has to be channeled and harnessed and used, and there's different stages in a person's life. And therefore, when we look at different gifts and developments of modernity, there's two ways of looking at it. One is, we'll build the wall even stronger and not believe it doesn't exist. The problem is the kids get older and they get exposed to everything, and then suddenly they see a new world and the defense mechanisms are not there anymore. And there was no immunity built to this. And sometimes it's even worse than one can ever imagine. But we're not going to get into that at this moment. A much deeper way is understanding the limitations of people, understanding the Yetzirah, and therefore creating the right defenses, but in Hashkafa, empowering our youths, that when they see the world, not only don't they get nispol from it and become slaves, they realize the whole world is there for them to be megala in it, einoid mulvadai, including any new scientific development. So therefore, when you see all of these developments, it's not only Klipa and Sitra Achira speaking, it's Hashem communicating to history in his own unique way. When you see recently a tremendous focus on body, between diets and nutritions and gyms and exercises and meditations and all types of course, it could become an avodah zarah. Of course, a person could start worshipping their body and the only thing is they have a body and nothing else but the body. But that's a primitive way of looking at it. A much more real way of looking at it is that there's a certain energy in the world of ani v'reichav al hachamor, of being empowered to ultimately reach a space where we not only dismiss the body as evil, we not only subjugate the body and harness it for Kedusha, Avraham Avinu, we not only believe that the body can be elevated and worked with and sublimated, Moshe Rabbeinu, but we also understand that ultimately the Tachlis Habriya is that the Chamor itself becomes a source of Kedusha. The Chamor itself declares a Lakuz, and in a way sometimes deeper than even the Ruchnius. And the Neshama becomes a Mekabel of the body. And that's where there's complete unity, complete symmetry, where the Tachlis of Matan Torah is realized by Mashiach. And that's the unity that our youths are craving for today. And that's why a Chinuch that says, your body is garbage, zevel, satan, malach hamavos, yetzahara, I believe is not successful today. Because you're not tuning in to the ruchnis, the energy of the time, when the body has to be seen as a complete shutif with the neshama. No more the split between ruchnis and gashmis, this is good and this is evil. This is not the psura of our dor. The psura of our doir is goy echad ba'aretz, that einoid malvadoi is the ultimate integration of ruchnis and gashmis, not because we're so lowly and we want to worship gashmis. On the contrary, it's the power to be able to see in every nekuda of the chamoir and in every nekuda of the geshem a full keli and a full partner to be margish, the rotzen of Hashem in the world, to the point that the gashmis in some ways can even surpass the ruchnis. That's the third stage, ani v'rechav al hachamor. And that's why this chamor is such a meyuchas in history. It's really the story that goes throughout history, from the beginning, from Erev Shabbos bein Hashmashas. V'ruchoi, v'ruach Elohim zeruchoi shal melech HaMashiach, through the chamor, all the way to melech HaMashiach. Comes Rabbi Yosef, and he wants to express this whole shiur in one line. Because the Gemara expresses a 2-hour shiur in one line. If you could just understand what the Gemara says. How does Rabbi Yosef express this whole shiur in one line? So Rabbi Yosef says, Ula says, I don't want to see Mashiach. And Rabbi says, I don't want to see Mashiach. And what does Rabbi Yosef say? Rabbi Yosef says, you remember? Take a look in the where is it? The top of the second side. Rabbi Yosef Amar Yesa, let him come. V'iskal b'zoicha de'esev betula de'kufisa de'chamre. Sit in the shadow of the excrement of the chamar. And between you and me, between you and I, we all understand it's very strange that he has to express himself this way. Even if he wants to make a point, and that is, let him come and I'll do anything. You know, what do we say in English? I'll be a fly on the wall. I get it. A fly on the wall, lechfashtei. But I'm going to sit in the shadow. The oimik, this is what Rabbi Yosef is saying. But in order to understand it, you have to know a little bit about Rabbi Yosef. The Gemara says Rabbi Yosef was unique in what sense? Anybody knows? Saginoy. He couldn't see, he was blind. Famous Gemara in Kedushin Lamed Aleph. Rabbi Yosef said, when I was younger, I wanted to say that the shita that holds that a summa is potter mekol ha-mitzvahs is better, because that way my schar is much greater, because I'm doing it on my own. But now that I heard Gadol HaMetzuvah V'Oisa Yosef Mishena Metzuvah V'Oisa, then I want the shita that Asuma is Chayev B'Chol HaMetzvah, because he was Asuma. He was blind. How did he become blind? When you look in Gemara in different places, you see Rabbi Yosef said certain things he saw. So it means it happened later in life. So there's a Ramban over there in Kiddushin. Says the Ramban, the last source. Posach v'nistama hava. He could see, but then he became blind. Kedam rinam ba'agoda, the Ramban says. There's a Medrash. Mishum demaloi motzi koyi benafshe de loyalis takuli bar midalad amas delay. Rabbi Yosef was afraid of the world. And he couldn't get himself not to look out of his Dalet Amos, his four cubits. We think we're the only ones who have Nisyonis with our eyes and with our hearts and with our emotions. But Nisyonis were always there. Rabbi Yosef didn't want to see out of his Dalet Amos. And he couldn't get himself to do it. So what did he do? So the Seder Adoris has a whole tradition exactly how he did it. He sat in a dark room. He weakened his eye vision. And ultimately, as a result, he became blind. You have to understand, Reb Reuven Margolius has a whole essay on this. A person, al pi halacha, is not allowed to damage his own body, unless for tshuva. The question is it pshat maybe that he felt it was mamash a dangerous situation for him? Or he just wanted to make it weaker, and then it ultimately became blind? Whatever the situation is, Reb Yosef did this to himself. That's why, I think, when it says, Ula said, Yosef lo yichmine, Rabbi said, Yosef lo yichmine. Rabbi Yosef didn't say, Yosef yichmine. He couldn't see. Yosef iske de Yosef. So understand, Rabbi Yosef, who felt that the only way for him to survive in this world is if he doesn't see the world. Imagine, we don't even have a hasaga in this. He doesn't want to see the world. This Rabbi Yosef, when he wants to describe what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, he says, I, Rabbi Yosef, is going to sit in the shadow. Which, what is a shadow? A shadow is when the light is not obstructed, there's no shadow. When the light is obstructed, right, you block the light, so it casts a shadow. So I'm going to sit in the shadow, which is the opposite of light. And what? Of the psoilus of the chamor. You have the chamor, it is a donkey. It's shine stupid. Now you have the psoilus of the chamor. The re'i of the chamor. The kufis of the chamor. The fertile oil, what's that? That's the junk of the junk. If the chamor is chaymer, this is the junk of the chamor. And the shadow of that is the darkness. So you have your three levels of lowliness. And I will sit in that shadow. Because if the chamor will become revealed to be the ultimate expression of the essence of Hashem, the Yesh HaNivra will reflect the Yesh HaMiti. So then even the psoilus of the chamor, the dirt that comes out of the chamor, and the shadow of that will be enough to enlighten me, to inspire me, to elevate me, because even the lowest elements of the chamor will ultimately be so mevurer, so sublimated when Mashiach comes, the truth of the chamor will be revealed. Therefore I'll be happy to sit there. Who? Rabbi Yosef, the one who felt that he has to separate himself from the world. Indeed, when you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Yesei ve'erenu. Rashi knew that Rabbi Yosef was a sagi nohar. But then the reason that Rabbi Yosef didn't want to see will become bottle. And since it will become bottle, so Rabbi Yosef could say, as Rashi puts in the word, ve'erenu, I'm going to see. So now let's finally see the last source here, the Pri Tzadik in Parsha Shmos. Zok the Pri Tzadik. Vayarkivim al ha-chamor, Pirish Rashi, chamor ha-meyuchid, shechava shavram ha-kedis Yitzchak. Ubevad e'en ha-kavon ha-shan chamor chai alofim shana. I don't think it means that the donkey lived for millennia. Ha-mechuvan sha-kol kedusha achas. It means that all of the donkeys represents one kedusha. That's what the Pri Tzadik says. Acho inyan, chamor miram is leguf shehu achoimer. The chamor is the body. Ob Avram Avinu kasa vayach b'chus chamor is shekava shaguf liyis by kedusha. He conquered the body. Ubashosh erochav alav nepach letoiv miram is lekedusha. Ukshenicha yetsli yishmol velazer etzlam. Now it says he tells Elazar and Yelazar and Yishmol shvulachem poyim achamor. You stay with the donkey. So what does the Gemara say on this? Im ha-chamor, am ha-doim al-chamor. Says the pre-tzaddik, 1 second. Is this chamor Mashiach's chamor? What is it, bad or good? That's the point. It's not bad or good. It can be the greatest, and it could be the lowest. Depends. Chamor is not bad. Depends how you look at it. Do you become a victim of it? Or do you understand what its real potential is and what it's begging you to do? To sublimate it. We all know, we all have the experience, right? You're in front of a piece of food. It's delicious. Your body is telling you, please eat, please eat, please eat, please eat. Your mind is telling you, don't eat this. You know what it's going to do for you, right? You'll ask your body, what should I do? So there's two parts. The chitzonius of your body, your taste buds will say, eat it, eat it, eat it. The pneumius of your body is really begging you not to eat it. Because who's going to be hurt from it? The body. So if you're in tune with the chitzonius of your chamor, you'll eat it. If you're in tune with the pneumius of your chamor, you know that your body begs you to take care of it. Vaharaya, when you don't take care of it, it betrays you, it gets sick, it gets lethargic, it gets heavy. When you ultimately take care of it, it thanks you in its own secret way. So it's the same chamor. Depends what you see in it. So he says, "Kshenichet sheyishmo v'liyezer etzlam haya chamor de klipa klipas ataiva." V'alze omer amadaim alachamor v'zeh shamor v'ushasid malachamor shriach ligolus lof shnemer ani v'reichav alachamor shehu yifalos Mashiach will accomplish shekol Yisrael yichbishu achaymer. All of the Jews will be able to conquer the chaymer shas yishchet yitzharav v'aziy haguf mali kedusha. The body will be saturated full of holiness. V'alkein nimshal alachamor. This the Pitadik says in Parsha Zachar. V'chein kol bal taiva yishmol is compared to the chamor. V'chein kol bal taiva oisa maisa shtus. Why do Chazal call every bal taiva is really called a chamor? Why? Because every bal taiva is doing the same thing. He's being stupid. V'isa al asoyne shel Bilam shezu atipshus shebebehema. The donkey of Bilam is called a fool. V'chein haloshem gemara bababasra. Kol abba chamra. Abba is a donkey. Upirish rashi shoyte kechamor. V'chein isa ben adorim peyalof. Ein mitzuyin lotzis tamad racham mebneim shum dekori le inshe chamri. Hainu shem izgoyim ala tzibur b'chachmasam lahachshiv hakol ketipshim v'chamor tipish shebebehema. They're arrogant over the people, calling them tipshim. That's what it means, they're calling them chamorim. So says the Pritzadik, why? Because ain't other over aved elin kein nichnas by ruach shtus. The koyach hatayv is really a koyach of stupidity. In other words, stupidity takes over, the chamor takes over, and you think that's really the chamor, and that's what happens. Really, really, the chamor is a yesh. And therefore, superficially, it's telling you, follow this taiva. On a deeper level, there's really a calling for holiness, as we explained before. And therefore, Avraham Avinu's chamor is Molei Kedusha. Ultimately, Mashiach is going to be revealed through that chamor, the same chamor, in different stages of history. And the same chamor could be Am Adoim Ala Chamor, because it depends how the person uses it. So therefore, we could strike the horse till it becomes aware it's a horse. We can strike the horse until it ceases to be a horse. And then we can strike the horse until the point that the horse is not only transformed, but the horse and the donkey ultimately becomes the source of the Hizgalos of Kvod Shamayim and the Hizgalos of Melech HaMashiach. B'mheira, b'yameinu, amen. Have a wonderful week.